Fourth case this morning is United States against Wang. Mr. Stanton.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel, I'm Bill Stanton. I represent defendant appellant Zahofa Wang. Mr. Wang is appealing his sentence following a guilty plea in the district court to two counts of an indictment. That indictment charged him, along with many others, with conspiring to furnish fraudulent passports. In this appeal, Mr. Wang raises two issues. First, the number of passports that were reasonably foreseeable to him, and second, whether he was deserving of a mitigating role. Those two issues are distinct, but they're also interconnected. I'll deal with the number of documents first. The district court applied a 9-level increase under Guidelines Section 2L2.1B2C, and that increase is for more than 100 documents. And it's our position that it should have been a 3-level increase under 2L2B, 2L2.1B2A, based on the fact that the number of documents that was reasonably foreseeable to Mr. Wang was actually between 6 and 24. The position that the court adopted, which was the government's position, was essentially that since Zahofa Wang conspired with others, and two of those other people admitted in their plea agreements that they knew that more than 100 documents or more than 100 passports were involved, then that should have been imputed on Zahofa, and he should have known the same thing. And the question is, what was reasonably foreseeable to Zahofa Wang? Now, Zahofa...
Now, the question on this appeal is not what was reasonably foreseeable to Wang. It was whether the district court made a clearly erroneous finding in concluding that more than 100 documents were reasonably foreseeable to him. What makes you think the district court's finding was clearly erroneous?
Judge, we think it's clearly erroneous based on Zahofa Wang's role in this whole scheme. He was a transporter, and there were a number of different levels of this scheme involving a number of different people, but essentially there were people who were the manufacturers and the brokers, the people who were cutting the deals with the customers. And those people were at the upper end of this conspiracy. They were the ones that were doing the most. They were getting passport photos from people. They were creating the fraudulent passports. They were creating fraudulent proof of residences for the state of Illinois. Whereas our client was the transporter. He was the one at...
I understand that, but you're just repeating the argument made to the district court. My question is, what makes you think the district court's findings were clearly erroneous?
Because the district court never stated with any sort of sufficiency how it was reasonably foreseeable for Mr. Wang to know that this conspiracy involved more documents when his role was so limited. Basically, what...
That sounds like saying somebody who transports trucks for General Motors wouldn't have a clue that General Motors makes more than 100 cars a year. The people who are involved in peripheral or collateral parts of a large venture often know its scope. Why was it clearly erroneous for the district court to conclude that your client was one of those people?
Sure. The district court stated that it thought that this conspiracy had been in existence for about 10 years. It thought that this conspiracy dealt in well over 100 documents up into the thousands. But what it failed to recognize is that Mr. Wang was only involved in this conspiracy for a period of 4 to 5 months. He's involved from the end of 08, and I believe he's arrested in February of 2009. There's one concrete transaction that the government has him doing that's on December 30th of 2008, and that's where he transported an undercover officer to a Secretary of State facility for the purpose of that officer obtaining fraudulent identification. So based on the fact that this conspiracy is going on for that entire period of time, now the government in the indictment has it at about 6 years, but the court said it thought it was about 10 years, the district court failed to look specifically at how long Mr. Wang was involved and what exactly he was doing in connection with this conspiracy. What the district court seemed to think was Mr. Wang was friends with a Jun Ji Zhang, and that Jun Ji Zhang was the brother of the lead defendant. So because Zahofa Wang was friends with Jun Zhizhang, who was the brother of the lead defendant, then Zahofa must have known about the scope of this conspiracy. And that's basically guilt by association to an associate. It's far removed, and we don't think that the district court applied the proper analysis in that realm. He didn't know, as far as Mr. Zahofa Wang, he didn't know that others held the same role that he did in this conspiracy. Apparently there were numerous transporters, numerous people who were taking these individuals to Secretary of State facilities to obtain these fraudulent licenses and ID cards. As far as Zahofa Wang was concerned, and as far as he knew, he was the only person that was doing that. So his role was much smaller, and the district court did not duly consider that in allotting a 9-point enhancement instead of a 3-point enhancement. As it relates to a minor role, we think the district court committed clear error because Zahofa Wang was substantially less culpable than his co-defendants. And at the sentencing hearing, the one co-defendant that was analyzed in this respect was Young Hui Wang. And that was the individual that Zahofa worked for. And Zahofa received the same sentence as Young Hui, which was 37 months on count 1 and the mandatory 24 months on count 10. And it was shown that Young Hui was one of the individuals who was manufacturing. He was one of the individuals that was brokering. The aforementioned transaction that took place back in December of 2008, on December 22nd, an undercover officer contacts Young Hui. And Young Hui and the undercover officer agree that they're going to sell a passport and they're going to sell a Social Security card. So that agreement is between the undercover officer and Young Hui. A week later, on December 29, 2008, the undercover officer again calls Young Hui, and they make the same agreement, but Young Hui raises the price. And Young Hui agrees to meet the undercover officer the next day. Now, finally, December 30th, after Young Hui had met with the undercover officer, obtained the passport photos from him, it's at that point that Young Hui instructs Zahofa, okay, I got everything, to the undercover officer, which he didn't know at the time, obviously. Now you transport him to the facility. I see I'm running into my rebuttal time, so unless there's any more questions.
Certainly, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court. Yasmin Best on behalf of the United States. The district court was not clearly erroneous when it applied the 9-level enhancement for the number of passports involved in the offense, nor was it clearly erroneous when it declined to give Mr. Wang a 2-level decrease for a minor role. Regarding the number of passports, I believe counsel's not correct when he states that the court failed to consider the amount of time that Mr. Wang was involved in the conspiracy relative to his co-conspirators and why that means that he should have been held responsible for only 6 to 24 documents. The court made clear that in terms of determining the scope of the conspiracy to which Mr. Wang agreed to undertake, he was being held responsible for only a number of his co-defendants. And to be clear, more than 35 people have been indicted in the course of this fraud scheme. Judge Dara held Mr. Wang responsible for the actions that were reasonably foreseeable to him in terms of his conspiracy with Jun Yunzhang, Jun Zhishang, and Yang Wei Wang. And that is a discrete, smaller subsection of the number of people and the number of documents that were at issue in the fraud scheme. The defendant...
Now, of course, Jun Yunzhang and Jung Hu Wang both admitted that they knew that there were more than 100 documents, or at least it was reasonably foreseeable, but there's really no evidence that he knew that, right?
Well, there is some evidence, Your Honor. Mr. Wang, in his plea agreement, one agrees or admits that he conspired with Jun Yunzhang and Yang Wei Wang. He also admitted that he knew that the passports that were at issue in this conspiracy were being reused, and that's critical because of the way in which this fraud scheme operated. The genuine People's Republic of Chinese passports were critical to the way in which the document scheme was perpetrated. And without the reuse of those passports over and over again, and having those genuine passports that were altered and submitted to the Illinois Secretary of State, the fraud scheme would have ground to a halt.
Well, in fact, he retrieved the passports after each use and returned them to the source so that they could be reused. It wasn't just a matter of mere knowledge. He participated in that particular aspect of the scheme.
Exactly, Your Honor. He actually admits in his plea agreement that he retrieved those documents from the customers, and that was for the purpose of allowing them to be used by subsequent customers during the course of the fraud scheme.
Right, and he knew that if the customer had paid a premium to keep the fraudulent passport, then they would be permitted to do so, but if they hadn't paid that premium, then it would be retrieved at the end of the transaction and restored to the conspiracy for future use.
Exactly. And so that's one piece of evidence that demonstrates that he knew that the scope of the conspiracy went beyond what he was personally involved in. Additionally, there were business cards recovered from Junxi Zhang's house on the day of the day the search warrants were executed in February of 2009. That goes to show that, in fact, the defendant was not just a mere transporter of a few customers to the Illinois Secretary of State, but he was a point of contact for those customers. And in addition to taking people to the ISIS facilities, he did provide documents to them. He did retrieve money and documents from the customers. And his close relationship with Junxi Zhang, who was involved in the conspiracy over a number of years, also makes it clear that Xiaofa Wang knew that he was not the only person participating in this conspiracy, that it went far beyond his involvement. And Judge Darrow took all of that into account when he determined that 100 or more passports were reasonably foreseeable to Mr. Wang. Again, in his minute order, Judge Darrow noted that this was a fraud scheme that trafficked upwards of 7,000 fraudulent documents during the course of its operation.
What was the duration of this defendant's participation?
The defendant began participating in no later than 2008. Again, this was a largely retrospective investigation, but as counsel noted, he was detected in the course of an undercover operation in December of 2008, but the evidence shows that he began participating before then and then, of course, was arrested in February of 2009.
So how many months was he involved roughly, from the government's knowledge?
The government's knowledge, it's not precise when in 2008 he began participating. It's based in part on his own admissions as well as information obtained from co-conspirators, but that wasn't until after the fact.
And
so
he drove approximately 15 customers or 15 times?
He drove at least 15 times, Your Honor. Again, based on information from co-conspirators, it's unclear precisely how many times he drove. As noted in the government's version and in the government's brief, we can link a number of the times that the passport numbers and the same driver's licenses were detected at the Illinois Secretary of State facilities, but because there wasn't surveillance at the time, it's hard to detect precisely how many times Mr. Wang was involved in driving customers to the Illinois Secretary of State facilities. But Judge Darrow made clear that in holding Mr. Wang responsible for 100 or more documents, he relied on a number of different pieces of information, both his own admissions, the admissions of his co-defendants, the number of times those driver's licenses and passports were detected at the Illinois Secretary of State. And so for those reasons, we do not believe that his determination that 100 or more passports were reasonably foreseeable to him was clearly erroneous. As to the minor role issue, defense counsel only spoke of one co-defendant at the time of his sentencing. As I noted before, there were more than 35 defendants who've been indicted, 31 at the time of Mr. Wang's sentencing. And Judge Darrow had presided over the change of pleas of 13 of his co-defendants by that time. Five others had already been sentenced. And the judge noted that he was an average and really active participant in the fraud scheme, though it was for a limited period of time over the course of the conspiracy. The defendant did not establish that he was substantially less culpable than his co-defendants as required by Guideline 3B1.2. And for those reasons, a two-level decrease in his offense level was not appropriate. And the district court's determination to not apply that two-level decrease was not clearly erroneous. If the court has no further questions, the government would ask that you affirm the defendant's sentence. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Best. Anything further, Mr. Stanton?
As it relates to the first issue, why 6 to 24 passports instead of more than 100. Mr. Wang admitted to making 15 trips. Of those 15 trips, presumably one passport per trip. He did not have a working relationship with either Jun Young Zhang or Jun Ji Zhang. His only working relationship was with Yang Huai Wang. Now, the passports were being reused. Now, did Mr. Zahofa Wang know that the passports were being reused by other transporters other than himself? No, he did not. He knew that the passports were being reused by the people, subsequent customers that he took to these facilities, but he had no idea, no knowledge that this conspiracy was giving these passports to other people to transport customers to the facility. As it relates to the minor role, government's correct, there were more than 35 defendants indicted in this case. And of those, Mr. Wang knew three or four of them. The district court labeling him as an average and active participant is clearly erroneous based on the fact that Mr. Wang's involved in this for 4 to 5 months. He transports 15 customers. He's not creating these documents. He's not brokering these deals. Simply, he's just exchanging them and transporting them. Based on those facts, we'd respectfully ask you to reverse the district court's decision on those two points, unless there's any further questions.
Seems not. Thank you very much, counsel. And Mr. Stanton, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case. And the case is taken under advisement.